Hello, everybody, and welcome to Dollars. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Sublime, Alan. Beautiful. Oz Post is running a bit late these days, but that means I got a 6 p.m., 6.30 p.m. delivery from Oz Post. Bottle of whiskey I just ordered. So, stoked. Sitting down to a nice nip of whiskey as we speak, ready to do the podcast. How you doing?
I'm doing very well, but I'm a little jealous, not just because you've got a nice bottle of whiskey, but because I don't have my three bottles of rum. I ordered, I think it was probably 2 weeks ago, got done in by like a Instagram ad about a Brisbane or some sort of Queensland distillery that doesn't have to pay the government excise yet, I guess, until they hit a certain amount of bottles. So it's almost half price because the taxes are crazy. So I got one of each flavor of their available rums, and it's just been a disaster. They put the wrong address in, I guess. Like, I double checked afterwards and saw that I gave them my address, but it was trying to go to Fitzroy when I live in St Kilda. It's the same address, but Fitzroy.
Yep.
Because it kept saying undeliverable, and I was like, I don't understand. And then I sort of looked more into it, and I was like, ah, well, that'll do it. So I had to sign up to an account. I got a tracking number from like Shipwright or something weird like that, and then a tracking number from Sendal. So I was like, all right, maybe these people got it and then they've pawned it off. I don't know. Anyway, so I have to sign up for a Sendal account because you can't contact them without signing them up. So I do that and I make a note to say, yeah, you got my address wrong, da-da-da. They're like, cool, and then should be ready the next day. Next day it says delivered. And I'm like, all right, well, hopefully it's at my house. Can't find it. So I get in contact with them, and then there's like, oh, there's no delivery photo. And she's like, oh, wait, I've got a tracking number for another thing now. And I was like, well, maybe they just changed it, like had to change the whole thing instead of like just changing the address. So they maybe went delivered, start a new one. She's like, yeah, that's probably it. I'm like, all right. She's like, cool, well, that's coming Monday. Like, yep, sweet. All right.
Sweet.
Anyway, couriers, please. Now, not even Sendal, not the other one, like a third shipping company, third tracking number. It says, yep, all good to come Monday. My wife doesn't work Mondays, so she's got a whole Monday off. And nothing. Never came. And it said that it was undeliverable because the business was closed, and they'll try the next work business day. And I'm like, well, the building's open. My wife's home. Like, what? I'm like, have they got the address wrong again? So I went through their, like, portal and said, hey, you know, just please check the address. It should be this. Anyway, nothing. No change. Didn't come out. Didn't try to come out yesterday. Didn't try to come out today. So I'm trying to find, like, a phone number for it. There's all these stories about people, like, don't bother with the phone number. It doesn't get you anywhere. Someone else had, like, an email address. That like this got me through, so I've emailed them. I don't know what's going on, but it doesn't seem worth it at this stage.
Sketchy.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see how we go. Hopefully it's some delicious pineapple rum, but I don't know. I may never get it.
Yeah.
I wish they just went Australia Post. Other than that, I'm doing well. Doing well. Just good. Came back from the myotherapist, so got some dry needling done. The body is feeling very relaxed. Sore, but relaxed. I tell you who else is relaxed. Big Ricky Wysocki, because he off to join the hundreds of other stars at Discraft. What's going on? How is he at Discraft?
I don't know what's going on. Reese, obviously formerly known as TD of the Year, dropped me a message and he said, they're playing Pokemon out there. They've got to collect them all.
I love it.
Yeah.
Wild. But big, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. What's his signature just going to be? Like, what's left? What do they not have that like Paul or AB or whoever doesn't have?
Absolutely. And I got so many questions. I'm pretty sure Ricky joined Innova, obviously, upon Paul's departure. So I have to assume that Ricky and Paul have never been on the same team together.
Yeah, it would make sense.
Yeah. But obviously, I dropped up on socials that I guess this is what happens when your brother-in-law's the team captain.
Yeah, I did see that. That was nice. Looks like Discraft caught wind of that as well. I saw they gave a little love emoji.
Yep. Not the first time I've tagged Discraft in something, but definitely the first time Discraft have given me the love heart. So thanks for the love, Discraft.
Yeah, that's sick. Well, you just got to be clever and you get the attention. So I like what you've done there.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty cool to see. So I don't know. It seems like pointless now almost because they got everyone. But we'll see. Exciting news for him, but he's got to learn his discs pretty quick. I think the season starts in a few weeks. So good luck.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you catch any of the last, what's the one we listened to? Brody and Yuli, Tour Life.
Tour Life. No, I did not catch any of the recent one.
I had to listen to that. And so Ricky is going to Discraft, and that's obvious. Ricky is one of the best players in the world still. Top all the time, like in the lead card all the time. The big germ to MVP, he earns his money a different way. And man, does that man earns his money. They asked him to come on the pod. They're like, oh, we know you're in New Zealand. The time's kind of be weird. Like, if we just get a 10, 15 minute chat. Well, they talk for an hour with Big Germ. And that man systematically, without just getting a list and reading off the list, this is this disc and this is good. Throughout the whole hour podcast, talked up the MVP line like you wouldn't believe. Like, it was smooth, it was charismatic, and like almost inspiring. Just the way he talks about it, he's like, yeah, I couldn't believe how good their mid-rangers are to flick. That was a big part of my game at such and such, and then I lost it here and da-da-da, and now I'm flicking them better than I ever have. And he's like, that gyro technology, and he's just going off. And I just like the guys at MVP would play this interview to whoever maybe doubted, and then they were like, this is why we got this son of a bitch. So I thought that was pretty cool to see him earn his money the way he knows how to earn his money.
Yeah, awesome. And then obviously taking down the Tour Down Under event as well. Obviously we covered that in the last pod, but yeah, he's going to go into the season with his tail up, and, you know, MVP will be getting all this media for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I did actually watch the final round of that. He's good. He's looking good, Germ. So it could be a resurgent year for him. We'll see.
I actually also caught bits of that. I'm back on the treadmill, which means I can't believe how quickly it goes from unlimited daylight hours in the morning to, like, I get up and it's pitch black. I'm like, it was like a light switch. I'm like, why is it pitch black again all of a sudden at 5:30? Anyway, it means I'm back on the treadmill and I'm back onto some YouTube content digestion. And I also watched it. And yeah, Ezra was playing well, but Germ was playing just as well.
Mm-hmm. It just looks good. The form looks good. It's smooth. The discs are going fast. So maybe the sun to it. I think the gyro is a load of shit. Like, I don't. If it was really that much better, then all the manufacturers would stop what they're doing and they would all make it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that's a load of shit. But I must say that my MVP trail.
Who makes the trail? That's what I was going to say. Who makes the trail?
Does just suspiciously go further than all of my other discs. I didn't have a ton of highlights at Werribee, but I had an eagle putt on hole 17. Just a trail, just boom.
Delicious.
So maybe it is, but I don't know. It just seems like if it was real, everyone would do it.
But yep.
I don't know. What I know. Did you sign up to the Vic Open yesterday?
I did not sign up to Vic Open yesterday.
Are you planning on signing up to Vic Open?
I'm definitely going to give it some careful consideration. I need to, like, I see these dates. I don't know. I need to look at school holidays. I need to do a few things. But I at $150 for pro, that's not gross. I'll definitely be looking to sign up. And I love Bendigo. I'm keen.
Yep, $100 for the AMs as well. No worries. I signed up right away. Happy with that. Very keen for Bendigo. I was actually having a chat with the guys on my card this weekend at Werribee, the past weekend. And I think I've come to what I want to see in the future. And I think I want to see it live at Bendigo. I know we've had zero current at Bendigo ever, but I think I want to see it live there. And my reasoning for it is because I think Ballarat is now like carving out their own solid space. They're going to run the GCC and the Big Wet, and they can show off their courses in that way. And if they want to expand to make them bigger three-round tournaments, they can. And the tricky part of it is the Invalid factor, because obviously it's the top course and there aren't that many people in that area. It's really just Pote and Hardy doing all the work. But I would love to see the Invalid Open pull an eruption and just say, this is us. Our tournament is the Invalid Open and it will be the premier tournament in the state. Like,
I believe it.
Big Open be damned. Like, I want them to get to the point where if someone said, or if Disc Golf Victoria was like, hey, we want to have a Big Open at Invalid this year, they would say no. Like, they would be like, get fucked. We do the Invalid Open.
Yep.
They have the scope. It's just about whether they want it and whether they have the people to do it. But I would love to see that, a tournament that rivals or takes over the Vic Open. Ballarat continuing to just grow their stuff. And then the only other good course we have is Bendigo. So the Vic Open could just live at Bendigo. And I would not be mad at that at all.
Oh, I'm loving all this. What would need to come in turn as we grow? And like, we obviously are growing, but at the moment, Vic Open is on the tour, is the platinum event, and it is the only platinum event. But if Invalid Open was to grow like the way you describe, and obviously they're already very close to having two courses down there, I think the Vic Tour and us basically having free reign on however the fuck that's run at the moment, we would just have to make a decision to say, all right, Invalid Open's also a platinum event, and points will be recognized as such, as equal to the Vic Open. And essentially, we'll have a collection of Victorian majors.
I would love it. Like, I don't think it's a pipe dream. I think it's very realistic and doable, but it just takes, like, Ballarat has now a quite dedicated team. The couple guys doing a lot of the work, I'm sure, but if Invalid could get something like that going and have the desire, like, I think I've said this on the pod before, someone asked whether, like, why don't we just run the Nationals at Eruption every year, what's the name? And my quick answer was Ryan and Michelle would tell them to fuck off. They'd be like, no, we do the Eruption. That's our event. And I would just say, I would love to see Invalid get to that stage, because I think they can. I think it could be a thing where a lot of interstate peoples would rather come down and do Invalid rather than the Vic Open. And I just feel like Bendigo's just a nice place to have it. Maybe if we get something at Bundoora, it could start rotating again. But that's my hope.
I love it, Alan. Let me just add in one other thing, because this is an awesome rabbit hole. Like, I think if I'm a sponsor, particularly if I'm not a disc golf affiliated sponsor, be it small or big, as we continue to grow, that's enticing. Like, hey, sponsor this event, but I'm going to roll around again in 12 months, and I'm going to roll around again and again and again. This isn't just a one-off thing. Every 12 months, I'm going to roll around, and I want you to be affiliated to this event.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I think that would be a good way of doing it too, because if it stays in a home, it becomes a thing. Like, the Sizzler's really becoming that's a genuine thing now, and that's, they've run a good tournament, they've got a good course, and they play it at the same one every single time.
Yep.
So, yeah. No, I like that. Sponsors are a great angle too, because we definitely need the money into it. So, we'll see. It relies on, like, people stepping up. So, we'll see how that goes. We talked last week about the Masters Cup, and it's up and about now. They've got the websites in full swing. They've got the details out there. So, I was thinking we may just give my old man a call and see if we can loop him in on this and get the information firsthand. What do you think?
Better Brunsting on the podcast would be an absolute win for the podcast, and I can't wait to see how the technology plays out.
That's it. Yeah, we'll see. It should be a simple matter of just calling him during our call, I think. So we'll see. He has been worded up, so hopefully this will work forever. Hey, how you doing, Jeff?
Hey, good, thank you.
You're on here with Chris as well.
Hey, nice. Fantastic.
And everyone here, anyone? Oh, wait. No, we can't. Give me 2 seconds. Oh, no. Turns out we were unable to merge calls.
All right.
I don't know why I'm not unable to do that. Very, very strange. So I might just message Chris and then let him know I've cut him off, unfortunately, while I've got you. So it'll be just me for now. So we're talking Masters Cup. So the big thing is what is it and how did it come about?
Yep.
Yeah.
We are?
Yeah, go for it. We've been live.
Yeah. No worries. Well, thanks for inviting me. I don't really like doing this type of thing, but worked out well. There's a lot of information I want to get out to a lot of people, and Throllers is probably the best way to do it.
Well, I don't know about a lot of people, but some.
So I know you guys are big on technology, so I've got a bit of a teleprompter rolling in front of me. Just to keep me on schedule. And the first thing I want to do, if I can, is just to throw out a whole lot of thanks, and that'll explain some of what you asked anyway. So first and foremost, I want to say thanks to the 165 players who responded to the survey. That's a huge percentage of responders and from a wide variety of demographics, so that's been fantastic. I've got top three things that people wanted were a great course and organized social activities in a good area, so we're covering all that. So it came about, though, I want to thank Anthony, because it came about in 2023 when we ran the WGE. Anthony helped me with that, and at the end of it I said, I think I'm done with tournaments for a while, running them anyway. And he said, I want to talk to you about doing a Masters tournament. I said, oh, all right, that sounds good. So he wanted to do that in 2024, and it never really happened, so we wanted to make sure it happened in 2025.
Nice.
So that's what we're doing now.
Yeah, beautiful. And it's going to be in Ballarat, and it's 2 rounds over 2 days, the weekend after the Vic Open, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Is there
Right, yeah, from the survey of results, we thought that enough people wanted that we could make it happen. In the survey, some people did say that they prefer it to be maybe a week or two afterwards, but the week after the second weekend in May is Mother's Day, and the third weekend doesn't really work out for Anthony and I, and also there's a big ultimate event somewhere, and people asked us to stay away from that.
Okay.
So that wasn't a huge consideration, but mostly it didn't work out for Anthony and I. We think May's a good month to have it in because there aren't any other majors in it. We're trying to build a tournament that will be for, you know, years to come. So we think that May might be a good month for it. The other reason for having it in May is there may be something happening in October with the Masters Games in the ACT, and we really didn't want to crowd that. So hopefully that happens, but we wanted to have it in the beginning of the year because, not so much is happening.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, that sounds good.
We didn't want it in winter either because...
Yeah, old people.
So we think May is good, and we think that the weekend after the Vic Open is fantastic. We're hoping that a lot of people will treat it as a disc golf holiday and come and play both events.
Yeah, now that sounds fantastic. And you've got accommodations sorted, or you're in the works of sorting it out at the university?
Yeah, exactly. So, Fed Uni, which we stayed at a few years ago when they had the Vic Open, and it was just such a fantastic place that, we wanted to include that. What we wanted from this tournament, so Anthony yeah, came up with the idea initially. And what we really wanted with the tournament is a celebration of the over 40s. We wanted to have it someplace where we could be social, so we were thinking about Ballarat with the Fed living accommodation, or possibly Inverly with camping. It's got to be more of a social event with a bit of disc golf thrown in as well. And so Ballarat just fits the bill perfectly for all of that.
Yeah, very cool. And you had mentioned that you're going to try to work on potentially a bit of a Masters bag tag situation that could start at these Masters games.
Yeah, exactly right. So I can't say too much about that because I've got some great ideas in my head, but I need to talk to the other members of the organizing committee. But yeah, we think it's going to be something that certainly hasn't been done in Australia before and probably the world. It's going to be something that's sustainable for years to come. It's going to be a whole lot of fun, and anyone that wants to be involved can be involved. It won't be just the people playing in this tournament. It's going to be a big thing, and it'll be very special for anyone 40 and over, and excluding everyone else.
So typically at tournaments, we have MA40, MP40, and MA50, and that's it? Is that what's going on at the Masters, or you got more options?
Oh, hell no. We're going to offer any division that the PDJ offers. So one of the questions in the survey is, will it be a tour event? But it won't be because we can't. It won't be an ADG tour event because we're not offering all divisions. But we're going to offer every division, 40 plus. So the first bracket is 40 to 50, so that could be MA40 or MP40, and then it goes to MA50, MA55, MA60, which is me, and 65, 70, 75, whatever people want to enter into, and amateur or professional.
Beautiful. And the women's divisions as well.
So, of course, if there's only a few entrants in some of them, then the prize pool won't be as good.
Yeah.
But what we will do is we'll offer towards closer to the start of the tournament, anyone that's in smaller divisions can certainly switch to another division that they would qualify for.
That sounds very good. And you've got a lot of responses around from the country. Have you been getting a lot of people that wouldn't traditionally play in Masters divisions that are keen to break that cherry for the tournament?
I think so, but I'm not sure. Because one thing we didn't want to do is we didn't want to make the survey hard for people to do. So we didn't take email addresses because then you'd have to log in to do it.
Yeah.
And we wanted them to answer honestly. So, just getting 165 responses from probably the 600 people that, qualify is just incredible. Mm. As anyone that knows anything about the surveys knows that that's a good percentage.
Yeah, that's insane.
So I think there is. I think, I shared the results with you and Chris too, just because we're having this chat. And we will share those results with publicly for whoever wants to see them. But we think that, it gave us real license to do what we're doing when we're doing it.
Mm. Now, it looks very good. One of the things that jumped out to me the most, one of the questions was, what are people actually looking for in a tournament? And it wasn't surprising to me, I don't think, but it's not always the main focus for comps and stuff, but it had nothing to do with like players plaques or prizes or anything like that, did it? It was more about the location, potential for accommodation, and the quality of the course, right?
Yeah, exactly. So the top three things were exactly that, the quality of the course, the location, and then organized accommodation, and after that was social activities. And we're going to deliver all of that in spades. So, and then past that, you have the players' packs and the prizes, divisional and CTPs. We can't do much about the CTPs and the divisional prizes because we're going to have that much sponsorship that they're going to be big and they're going to be generous. But we are going to promote and celebrate Australia's smallest players pack. it's going to be filled with trinkets that you'll treasure forever.
Excellent.
Bag tags, minis, and just a small little package, but things you'll keep.
Now, I'd love to hear that. It all sounds very good. Makes me a little disappointed that I'm not quite there yet, so I'll have to wait a couple years. But this seems like this could be something that is going to stick around for a while, right? This plans on being a yearly event and rotating throughout the country?
Exactly right. That's what we hope for, Phil. We're hoping that we make this really good, and ADG will take it on, much like they do with the Australian Disc Golf Championships. But if not, we'll form some kind of committee and make sure that it gets shared around from state to state to state.
Mm.
So that's our vision, yeah, definitely to see it go from state to state. You know, you could see it being run at Bel Air, things like that. We hope that the same vision follows, where we just congregate and have a great time and play some disc golf.
Mm. Now, Bel Air would be fantastic for that too, for sure.
Yeah.
Now that sounds great. And if anyone's ever been to a Jeff Brunsing run tournament, you know the value for money is always, always there. So I'm sure this will be no exception. Yeah, I'm keen to see how it all shakes out. I'm sure I'll head down at least one of the days and have a gander and follow around probably you for a round. Is there anything else?
Oh, that would be good. I was just going to say, I just sort of want to go over the tentative schedule.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, so on the Thursday, we're going to have a Cornhole Championship. And all of this is going to be mostly at Fed Living. So a Cornhole Championship and catered by yours truly with some American barbecue. Friday, we're going to have the teams event, and we're building that into some sort of state of origin.
Love that.
We've got some great ideas from some people that are going to help us build that. At night, we're going to have a poker tournament at the Fed Living, and maybe someone might have a whole lot of chips and some knowledge about running those that might come and stay the night.
Yep.
And Saturday, we've got round one, and we're going to have the players' dinner or get-together, which will also be at Fed Living, and we'll have more games and a barbecue. Sunday, we've got round two and presentations at Mount Xavier. Yeah, it's good. We're building a party, and we're going to have some disc golf involved as well.
I like that. I like that a lot. That's a good model for a disc golf competition, I'm sure. Is there anything else you'd like to get out before we let you go?
No, not really. Just want people to get involved with spreading the word. We'd love to have some disc golf influencers out there just sharing the word. We're going to try and get Parked involved. We're going to try and get Kingsley Flat involved. And we might even get some grant money to do some of those things. So, yeah, just spread the word and come play this fun event.
Sounds good. Keen. All right, well, thanks very much for joining us. I know you're over in WA working at the moment. So, had to skip work a little early. So, appreciate that.
No worries. It was well worth it.
All right. Thanks, Dab.
Thank you. See ya.
All right. And hopefully, I am back with Chris. Are you there, Chris? Well, maybe not. Might have to figure this one out on the fly here. But
hang on. Well, you got me now?
Yeah. Here we go. We're back.
I was on mute. I don't know how I was on mute. What a chat that was.
Yeah. It was so good. sorry about that. We didn't rehearse this, obviously. Why would we do that? But there's just a button that says add call, and you add it, and then it comes up, and for some reason you weren't making any noise, but all good. There's a button that says merge, so I hit merge, and then it goes nah. I'm like, oh, okay, well, guess Chris isn't talking. You'll have to have a listen to it, Chris. It was very insightful. There's a lot happening, and the basic underlining story of it is that they're going to throw a party and there will be some disc golf.
Yeah, unreal. Now, I am bummed. Tell me, have you been following the Facebook thread? Did you quiz him? Is it two rounds a day or is it one round a day?
No, it's one round a day over 2 days. So it's only a two-round comp, but there is a social thing before that. It's going to be a state of origin type setup, and then plenty of the day before as well, some cornhole and whatnot. So plenty going on, and three potential days of disc golf, but the actual competition will be only two rounds over 2 days. They're old, you know what I mean? They can't go too crazy.
No, that's why it blew up. I don't know if you saw the Facebook
friend
blow up.
No, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah. No, it makes sense to me.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, appreciate Jeff giving us some time there, and yeah, it worked out well.
It did. I actually was just off in my own little world down a YouTube rabbit hole. the Red Bull Rampage is coming up in Tasmania. And one of my, like, yeah, favorite YouTube rabbit holes is a bit of downhill mountain biking. And a bunch of the guys that I follow on YouTube and socials and whatnot are in Tasmania as we speak at bloody Richard Sampson's course. Down at Medina. They hold Red Bull Rampage. So
that's cool.
Red Bull Hardline. So they're all gearing up. It'll go off this weekend.
That's awesome. Very nice.
Yeah.
All right. This was something I was meant to share last week, but I completely forgot. If I don't write it on the run sheet, I forget it. So I write everything as soon as I know, so that I don't forget it. But Kaylin listened to our pod a couple weeks ago where we were talking about standard deviations, and I think you had mentioned that hopefully some clever person would put together a little thing for us.
They did.
And he did. So we were talking about Dave Perry probably having the smallest standard deviation in the world. And at his rating of 1,011, he has a 21.2 standard deviation, which is pretty tidy.
It is.
But the thing that stood out to me is the man that had him beat, which it sounds crazy to say this out loud, but Jacob Cruden at 17.54, four full strokes better than Dave Perry. Jacob's standard deviation as a 907 rated disc golfer. anything below 863 will not count to Jacob's round.
That's tidy. That is tidy. Funny you should. I saw this on the run sheet, and when I was placed on hold, I was like, "All right, what else can I achieve in this segment?" And I actually went and did. I opened up a spreadsheet and I did some David Perry standard deviation maths. And what I was eager to calculate is what will he be after the next update.
Ooh.
So I've chucked in his cataraction, which was a 10.14 and a 10.13, outrageously close,
crazy,
obviously, to his 10.11. And what I don't know is, it's always sometimes it's hard to tell what will fall off the back. So a GCC happened in January. That'll fall away. But he's got the New Zealand champ sitting in there as an early February event. Now, if that falls away, he's going to have a 16.9 standard deviation.
That's so gross.
And it makes, for those maths nerds that are loving this chat, and again, everyone else will be hating it, it makes complete sense because at New Zealand Champs, these were David Perry's four rounds. 935. Okay. 996. No good for us. That doesn't hurt. 992. That doesn't hurt. But then, so his gross round was 935. What also kills him is his best round was 1043. So, like, he's getting killed at both ends there. So if New Zealand falls away, either in this update or in the next, David Perry's standard deviation is going to plummet.
That's incredible, because right now it stands that any round that he shoots that is 958 or below does not count. So if his standard deviation increases even more, then he's in the 960s. So that means that if David Perry plays as shit as anyone but the top five, seven players in Australia. I don't have it in front of me, but I mean, if he's like, let's say it gets to 965, how many people are above that? Seven?
I'd be surprised if there's seven above that.
So if he plays as shit as the seventh best disc golfer in Australia, it will not count towards his rating. That is fucked up.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there at a pretty tidy 24 point five. So I'm not too far off. Where do you think you're sitting at a guess?
Yeah, it'd have to be gross. I'd have to say 32.
Nah, 27.1, mate. You're not too bad.
Okay.
Kalen has put himself in. He's at like 33.
Yeah.
Maddie Faz is at 39.
Oofed.
But the king of shit standard deviation, who do you think that might be?
He's
not a Victorian.
Not a Victorian. Oh, tell me, it's got to be our mate Camille.
Oh, no, no. Henry Arnold. Cam's highs aren't high enough.
Okay.
Henry Arnold has a 43.5 standard deviation. He's a unit.
How has Kalen done all this? Kalen's a Jet.
He is a Jet. So I felt really bad. Once I saw him this weekend, I was like, God, I forgot. He put all that work in.
Yeah.
So he made a table for me that was nice and easy to read, and he plotted it in a graph and sent me that. So loved his work. Appreciate that coming in. And the Jacob Cruden, the surprise package. But I guess he's just consistently really shit now.
Yeah, so, yeah. Very consistently shit. Well done, Jacob.
You have to be good or shit. You just got to be consistent.
Yeah.
All right. I caught up on Parked Clubhouse. They came back on Thursday, and I had a watch on Saturday. Did you catch any of it?
Unfortunately, not. No, it hasn't made it to the top of my list yet.
Fair enough. Pretty standard stuff. Like they ripped us off and then had a go at us for ripping them off.
Yep.
So they ran with your gag of Latitude being able to afford Isaac Robertson now that they got rid of Dill Feldman, and then immediately said, watch Throllers say this in a couple of weeks. So a bit of irony there that we said it a couple of weeks ago. and then Ash continued to say that I full stole his John Farnham gag, which I did not realize, but apparently every time there was any mention of Dylan, Ash just started doing like a John Farnham song in the thing. So I did not see that.
Yeah.
And but it does make sense because it was a gag that no one got. And showed that I was old as fuck. So it didn't surprise me that Ash was all over that. But that wasn't the most interesting part of the thing. They did a bold predictions segment. And we won't rip that off. We don't need to know what our bold predictions were. But one of them I thought was fantastic. And I wanted to know your thoughts on it. So Jace's bold prediction was that a specific player that he went on to talk about was going to sort of get a bit of his shit together and was going to shoot the hottest rated round of 2025 in Australia.
Oh, an Australian disc golfer.
An Australian disc golfer. And okay. I thought it was brilliant. I thought Jace was 100% on point, and I wanted to discuss that a little bit further. So I won't say who he said, but I just want your opinion on who you think will be just the one round, the hottest one round in 2025. And I don't know how we'll have to try to keep tabs on this because I don't know how we figure that out from last year or whatever. But who do you think will do it?
Yeah, cool. All right. A few names come to mind, and I'll probably end up going with who I always back in. But obviously, Alex Canastin comes to mind.
Yeah.
Blake Houston comes to mind. Dylan Feldman, 100% comes to mind. David Perry comes to mind. You've got Jade, you've got Ozzie, you got Dan. But obviously, you got my boy, who I don't know. I just have an allegiance with, and I have to back him in every time. I reckon this is something that Ryan Hart will do.
That was Jason's prediction as well.
I love that, Jason. I love that.
I loved it. I just thought it was a great take.
Yep.
I still think it counts as a bold prediction because you know, anytime the man gets 12 birdies, he also gets four double bogeys.
Yes.
So I back it. I back it as a bold prediction, but I agree with it. I think he will, and I thought you would as well. So I thought that was really good there by Jace. I did love that.
Yeah, I agree. But Dylan Feldman has to be the smoky.
Yeah.
Now that he's nipping at everyone's heels.
Yeah, there's not many people signed up for the Ruffy Rumble too. So if he just shoots like six shots better than everyone, it's like, oh, well, that might do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyone listening at home, if you have an opinion of anyone other than Ryan Hart, then yeah, let us know.
Let us know.
And as I was done watching watching the segment of Clubhouse, I had a bit of a ponder myself. Where's the tee off? Like, are they done? Did they put out a post that I didn't see?
I think we did it, Alan. I think we did it.
We killed
him? I think we killed him. We didn't mean it. It wasn't our intention, but it was inevitable. And I don't know.
I mean, it's February, right? I'm not mistaken. We're in February.
It's definitely February.
2025 has been around for like a bit.
It has. January went on forever.
Park's back. They reckon they're going to do once a month or something, which was fine. Tee off did once every month and a half. But I don't know. Are they done? Is it over?
I don't know.
Neither do I. Maybe we need to do once a month. We need to do a national one and just full steal their audience.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe we just like, let's just check in. Maybe this is a segment. Let's just do it. Let tee off count for 2025. Zero.
Zero. Check every week.
Tune in again next week. See where we're at.
I love it. I'll put that on the run sheet. That's so good. The tee off count. How many episodes are they up to this year? It's been way too long. We haven't talked about any disc golf that's actually been played, so we'll have a look at that. We both got out to the Werribee social day on the weekend, and yes. It was nice. Bit of a windy day, but not too bad. How did it all shake out?
Yeah. It shaked out. A bit happened. It was windy, and a few people turned up. Meaning that basically we were full. End up being 35 of us there with Ryan Deer, Ryan Doe Deer being a no-show. So there was 35 of us there to start the day. Rounds were slow, rounds were warm, rounds were windy. And minus six was good enough to get it done. And so Vil gets out of the blocks to start the year with a W. And takes the 100 points in the social day, followed in a tie by Hussey, Aiden Howard, who I believe aced his final hole to jump up into second, and myself. We walk away with the second place there. But they are not elite scores.
Nah, no way. I was on Bill's card, and I was right up there at one stage, looking good. 4 under with a lot to play, and then it just no more birdies came. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I was sitting there going, oh, maybe I just go to all the social days this year and just win. Like, I just, at one stage, it honestly went through my head. I was like, I'll probably just win all the social days this year. And then didn't even podium. So that was dope. But yeah, you mentioned Aiden's ace. First week in, he was in the A spot, so he cleaned up a cool $240. He took most of the leftover cash from last year, so well done to him. I can't remember the deal. I think the club normally guarantees like $100, so that's probably what we'll be at Football Hill this weekend. But I'll look into that. And, Vil, he was running to the tee pad because he was running late. So,
literally. I ran past my hole. Yeah, I saw that.
Exactly. But Penn, I don't know if he was saving this for a not light or not, but Penn was actually shooting the hot round. He had neg seven with three to go, but he had to go to work. But everyone knows that hole four, five, and six are just bogeys. Bogeys. I mean, eight and eight, all five, but they're bogeys. So he definitely probably would have finished at a neg three, neg four as well. So probably not too much to talk about there.
Yeah, bad luck. I just had a look at the metrics rating. My neg four came in at a cool 896.
Shit.
Like, obviously, Metrics has a bit of a flawed system because it does not take into account the field.
Mm.
But, yeah, that like, neg four at Werribee is not getting it done. Cuttle, who obviously will go for a bit more run from Alex, but I do just want to flex. I did not go away empty-handed, and I did get the CTP.
Big boy.
Division A, yeah, which I'm a big guy, sidearm guy. And I was actually very, very stoked to get that CTP.
Nice. What hole was that? I don't even remember.
Long hole one, hole 10.
Long hole one, hole 10. Oh, okay. Yeah, nice. Sidearm around that. That's cool. I like that. Yep. Very good.
Yeah. Yep.
In Div B, we had a pretty tight battle, but Huss came out on top, as you mentioned. Neg four for her with just the one bogey, and Sebastian Gutierrez and Succulent Chinese Meal in second place, both shooting neg threes. I think you already know. I think I might have told you this, but Taron Anderson changed his name to Succulent Chinese Meal in honor of the great man who I think passed away last year.
Yes.
And Stoya wasn't real happy, I must admit. So apparently the same happened when Picanti changed his name last year. Like, it doesn't sync the stats. So it fucks with the stuff, like it fucks with the handicap or the yearly totals or something. So Stoya was just like, you're sucking the Chinese meal for the rest of the year. And Darren's like, yep, that's why I changed it. I wanted it to be the whole year. So, yeah, very good. Because I think Picanti must have points last year as Aaron. I don't even know how to say his last name. And then points as Picanti.
Picanti. Yeah, perfect.
So that's pretty good. We had a bit riding on Div B before we move on to Div C. This is where our whole thrower's guarantee lived. And you wanted to know what I'd give you for Ash Weednut to beat Matty Faz by two or more strokes.
That's absolutely correct.
And I was like, well, it'll just happen. Ash has had a couple wins this year, and Matty doesn't play disc golf. So I was like, no brainer. I had a half in my head 6-3, and I was like, nah, he'll take the three. Let's go. Also, 6-4, and I was like, he'll take the four for sure. So I pushed it that one extra so that you would take Matty. I went 7-3, and you were like, oh, Matty, please. And I'm like, excellent. So happy with your call. and then just inexplicably, Ash shoots a plus two, which is what, 700 rated?
Like, yeah. What? You say inexplicably. I was taking Matty at six. I was probably taking Matty at five. I was riding Matty home to the bank. I watched Ash at Stony League the week before last shoot 100 shots worse than Jason. And I was like, well, Matty's going to beat him. Matty's going to beat him. And I was very happy with the seven that you gave me for that.
Yeah, your finger was on the pulse there. Yeah. I caught up with Ash after the game was well and truly done, and I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then he like banded a 7-meter putt. He's like, that. He's like, that's what's going on. So, yeah, plus one for Ash and just a respectable neg two for Matty. 7 points going your way, which is big.
Big.
That's back-to-back sevens for you. I'm fucking up here. So you're on 14. Not so good. And then I had, I asked you for Ash Brookers versus Aaron Ponderai. And I think you gave me 6 for Brookers to get it done. And that's the man I wanted. So I was like, yep, sign me up. And immediately it went bad. Like right away it went bad. Ponderai dropped down a little, but at one stage it was like plus three and neg three. And yep. I was like, oh, cool. It ends with a plus two for Ash and a neg one for Aaron. Just like another clear victory. So 0 points for me. So it's now 14-5, 2 weeks in, and fuck, it's not looking good. I'm going to have to try to be a bit more conservative on the next one, I think. So, yeah, disappointing. And, I've got so many not lights already, so I'll just point it out now. What the fuck's Eamon doing? +8, just getting murdered by everyone. That's he doesn't do that. I don't like that.
No. Yeah, not sure. Was Eamon one of the guys over in New Zealand recently as well?
I don't think so.
Ah, okay, got that wrong.
Yeah. I don't remember seeing him over there, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
In Div C, it was taken out by Bonnie Ray, who I am unfamiliar with, but he had a good day. So +1, 2 strokes ahead of Peter Barry, a bit back is Kim Michelle. So I know.
We're getting into dodgy territories here, but did we? It's a name that could go either way, but I don't know. Could Bonnie be a she?
No. It was literally written to us by Alex, so I was just trying to act like I just knew. But way to give away how the sausage is made.
Sweet, thanks, Alex, for helping us out.
I only say that because I'm pretty sure Bonnie Ray is a like a music artist. I think she like Bonnie Ray does concerts and stuff. I learned that from Brooklyn 99.
Okay.
But not our Bonnie Ray. He throws frisbees and he does it pretty well.
Sweet. Well done, Bonnie.
In the no metrics rating, we have Omar Cortez Manzo with -2 getting it done. I feel like I know that name. Should I know that name?
Omar, the last name doesn't ring a bell, but Omar definitely rings a bell. Like, yeah.
So I might be missing something here, not sure, but yeah, they got it done pretty convincingly. Have you got the handicap stuff up in front of you?
I certainly do. At the top end, you're going to find Bonnie smashing it just above Hussey. Hussey coming in with a rating of 12.9. And so also really tidy at that end. Seb I got to play with Seb and Juan. That was a challenge, making sure I got their names right, just like trying to get Bonnie, who I've obviously not met. Jen is correct, my bad. At the other end, we've got Fernando, Aaron's best mate, also part of my pyramid scheme. Not doing so well, obviously not getting out to play as much as he would like. Eamon, you've already had a smash at. And then the most trashes of the all down there is Aiden Howard. Even with an ace, he is still trash.
Yeah, that was pretty rough. I was watching it. I was like, oh, well, at least Aiden's shit. And then eventually end up getting me anyway. But fucking aces. No good. Wherever was nice, though. Where are we off to this weekend? Bald Hill.
Bald Hill. I've signed up. Have you?
No, I'm not sure I'm going to make it.
All right, well, 10:30 is your only option if you're...
Yeah, I did notice that, so...
Yeah.
Which is fine, I might be able to... I've got a 9 o'clock gym hit session, so maybe I can do that and then swing straight over. We'll see. That'll be a Friday night call, I reckon.
Nice.
When I was playing this round with Stoya, we were chatting about a few different things, but... we're talking about how where we could, like, that could be a nice course, and you could have 18 in there pretty easy, I would imagine. There's a bit of scope to do it, and because of the baskets, you can sort of move around. Like, if someone wanted to run an event there, it could work out pretty nice. Like, we did it with the throwers thing and moved a couple of baskets to where we needed. But what I want to see is... definitely at Werribee and definitely Llewellyn. They're the two courses outside of Ruffy that I really think has the scope for like an easy to set up 18 hole disc golf course. So okay. Obviously last year I started the Ruffy Rumble. We've had a million different versions of the 18 at Ruffy Lake Park, but my goal was to make the simplest to set up version while still having, you know, at least a good enough course. And it was, you know, enough not that hard work that I said I'd do it again this year. And what I want to see is the exact same thing at Werribee and the exact same thing at Llewellyn. So I don't expect the club to take the initiative on this. I don't think it's their real focus. But what I am hoping for, and I know Stoy is keen, is to put together like a just a committee. Like, we'll put together a group chat of some people that would be happy to run these events and like help out at these events. So, like, yeah, I'm doing the Ruffy one this year. I'm hoping that maybe we can get another, either Werribee or Llewellyn this year, but next year, definitely all three. And if we had a team of, like, 10 or 12 people and it just rotates that someone decides, oh, yeah, I'll put my hand up for this one to do the admin bullshit, the club is quite accommodating nowadays. So I don't think they'd have too much problem with it. They've got the good baskets that we could grab and set up, and I just think we need to put together what I'm calling like a trash tourney committee. Like, this is not going to be the Vic Open. This is not going to be the GCC. We need three Ruffy Rumbles. They're going to be like $30-$40. We'll get some nice trophies from Bespoke, but other than that, some CTPs and some other stuff, but not much. You're just cheap event, good course, full 18 holes in Melbourne. What do you think?
Yeah, please. Yep, absolutely. Please and thank you. And obviously, hopefully, sooner rather than later, we just simply have an 18-hole course in Melbourne.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
That'd be super, super nice. But yeah, anyone who's listening, if you're keen, just hit me up. We'll put together a little thing right now. It sounds like it's just me and Stoya. Although Kalen did reach out to see if he could be assistant TD at the Ruffy Rumble. I did not actually look in to see how I can add him to that. But either way, I've given him the access to the thing, and he's looking to dip his toe in that. So anyone else who is, you don't have to be thrown into the deep end. And especially if we have more people, we can lighten the load. But I just think that would be, I would love to see it. Just easy. Separate the divisions over the couple of days, shotgun starts, so you're not there forever, like, boom. It could be a goer.
Could absolutely be a goer.
All right, Stony League, I've got that written down, but I don't know, those three people showed up. I guess it's easy to go through then. You were meant to be there as a fourth, but you pulled out, so three people showed up to Stony League.
Yeah, we're all familiar with the zero rating system, and I had a very close look at the potential four players to show up, and unless I gap them by about 20 strokes, I was going to take a rating dip. and so I was like, nah. True story, I was sick as a dog. Obviously, I did the podcast the night before, and I was no better, and I was not in the shape to play disc golf.
Nah, fair enough. Well, the three people were Dave Gannon, Dave Wood. They both shot a 55, which I don't know what that comes out to in what we actually know. And Sam Stoya, four strokes better there with a 51. It's disappointing. There's not even that many people signed up for it. So I feel like I am the problem here as well. I have not been to any. I went to maybe three last year. And I probably won't make any at all. And I did say I'll put me in it. So I am the problem. But there's a few of us that are a problem, especially in MA1 that said sign me up but have not shown up. What's going on? I thought it was good last year. We had good numbers. How has it fallen off?
Don't know. Don't care. I'm having fun. Everyone else can miss out. There'll be at least 10 of us tomorrow night, roughly. And we've got basically a brand new back nine to play with a bunch of par fours, and I'm really pumped to go and play it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Hopefully it's good, and we'll check out some better scores on that next week. I didn't get the Ballarat metrics up. I did forget about that. But I must say, so I backed in my man Ash Brookers, right?
Yes.
And he shit the bed. He let me down. Very, very disappointing. He then went straight to Mount Xavier, and he had the best score there of the day. Oh. I was like, you're a piece of shit. I saw him when he was leaving, and I was like, oh, you're a piece of shit, Ash. And he's like, I know, I'm sorry. And then, like, 4 hours later, he messaged me. He's like, you know what really makes me a piece of shit? And then he sent me the score. I was like, fuck you. Fuck you.
I've got it here. I got Mitch Evers by a stroke, got Marlon by a couple, Duncan by a couple, Don Carter by, he got Don Carter by 3 strokes.
Motherfucker. What did that come out to in metrics ratings?
Can't tell you because course is not rated yet.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
I was going to see how it compared, but yeah, it's, anyway, whatever. I'm not mad at all. I've got Tour Down Under written on here, but I think that's just because it's always on here until it goes. We talked about that last week. Nothing new this week but New Zealand Nationals. So
kick off tomorrow.
I'm pretty excited for that. So I think the last thing on the sheet outside of Spotlight Nightlight is our Throwers Guarantee. What have you got for us?
I'm obviously could easily eye off metrics this weekend, which I've chucked a cheeky sign up for. Haven't told the boss yet, so I don't know if I'm actually going to be there. But what I'm actually looking at is the New Zealand Nationals.
Me too. Yeah, what have you got?
All right, this is what I'm cooking up. I'm cooking up a doubles battle.
Ooh.
And what I'm looking... What I'm looking to do is I'm looking to take on two of the highest rated Americans there. So I've got Ezra and I've got Aaron Gossage. And I'm looking to pair them up with a couple of the Aussie big dogs. All right. So I think you and I would both agree that Ezra is probably the form player of the comp compared to Aaron Gossage.
Yeah, Ezra's guaranteed second for sure.
Yeah, but not to be beaten by Aaron. Like, to be beaten by someone else, right? Because Aaron's not been having a big one.
Yeah.
So, I want to put...
Look at you setting this up. Like, oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
oh, no, you can put it however you want. Like, Aaron's... I don't even think Aaron's got a top 10 yet. But Aaron... I want to put Aaron with our best player. So, I'm going to put Aaron with Jade. Okay? But because I didn't want to put Ezra with our best player. Because I'm trying to maybe see if you'll give me a 5-5 here.
I understand.
Yeah. And I'm going to put Ezra with... Aussie D.
Aussie D can get wild, but surely he doesn't just pull the pin at New Zealand Nationals, you know what I mean? That's his concern, is that if he's not first, he's last, sort of thing. But he doesn't just pull that pin at Nationals like he did at Eruption, because Eruption is like whatever. Interesting. Aussie D and Ezra.
Versus Aaron Gossage and Jade.
I got to go 4-6 the way the favourites would be the better player, Ezra.
All right, so Ezra and Aussie are 4.
If they win, and 6 the other way.
I'll take the 6.
Okay.
I'll take the Aaron and Jade. Let's play.
All right, interesting. Come on, Aussie D. Don't pull that fucking pin. I like that you've gone here because I wanted to go here as well. I want to know what I get for... why have I lost his name? Yeah, I'm sure he was here. Oh, yeah. Dan Frost... to be the best placed Aussie in the MPO field by the end of it.
985 rated golfer, currently comes in rated 2nd on the Aussie field.
Correct. All three of the Canberra Crush boys are there.
Yep.
They're probably the only real factors.
Yeah, you're Nathan Parrish. Let's calm down. look. I will give you, I think it's fair. It's a 3-horse race, really, isn't it? It's a 3-horse race, not really a 2-horse race to draw this up. And you want, I think it's fair that I give him a.
I swear I wasn't he'll win, but then I was like, oh, if he gives me a shit number. yeah kick up.
All right, now I'm going to reiterate, it's a 3-horse race, so yeah. you can't necessarily just flip this.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to say that he, you can have a six for that.
A six. Hmm. I don't know.
Now, you could have a you could have a four. That means you could have a four.
That he isn't.
No. Oh. I wouldn't do that, but I would give you a four for top three.
Oh, like if he's third or whatever. Or not.
Yeah. So, yeah, if he's the third highest rated Aussie,
you I'm just going to back that. Him in. I'm going to back him in. I think he six. Will do the best. I think he's up and about and improving, and it'll probably fight me because every time I tip Jade, he's shit, and everything I don't, he's the best.
All right, come on, Parrish.
So,
come on, Parrish. Let's get him.
But I'll take now. It. Six for me, Dan Frost to be the best Aussie, and six for you, Gossage and Jade beat Ezra and Aussie D.
Yep.
Cool. All right. I like it.
All right. Now, had you given... We haven't done trollers yet this year, but had you given... I just wanted to just, like, obviously throw mud because it's sometimes fun to throw mud. Parrish comes in rated at, like, the 43rd highest rated player in the NPO field. Could I have 10 for Parrish to get a top 20?
Top 20, probably. Honestly, probably. I've got to count out what 20 is. But to who?
Honestly, he's like 40. He's like 40 rated. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah.
Yeah, top. Yeah. The 20th highest rated player is 971 rated from Texas.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You can have that for sure.
Thank you.
I'm trying to remember who are the AMs. I wanted to see who are the Australian AMs that we can I can dick around with for a trollers. Ed, our boy Ed Hesline.
Yes.
All right. Would you give me a 10? Oh, they probably wouldn't for them. I've got Ed beating. Yeah, this is good. This works for me. I've got Ed beating Aussie D.
Oh, yeah, that's a 10.
Sweet. So if Aussie D does spit the dummy and fucks my my bet, then
hopefully Ed beats him.
Then I get 10.
Yeah.
All right, I'll work with that. Trollers is Ed over Aussie D. I like it. And nice. Parrish, top 20. That's hectic. That's a fat field. 43 players. And yeah, he's fucking 40th. Oh, not bad at all.
Yep.
All right, bit of spotlight, not light to end the day.
You get us started.
All right. My spotlight is... it goes out to... What's his name? Let me find the email. There is a man he's from here, but he has moved to Ireland, and he wants to host his wedding at a disc golf course, Ruffy Lake, and he wants to know where to do it. So he reached out to the club, I guess, and then for some reason, Gail thought I was the man to contact about that. So, my name is Jay Penn. I'm from Melbourne, but I've lived in Ireland for many years. My fiance and I are hoping to have our wedding this year in November. We'd love it to be at a Ruffy course. We're both crazy into disc golf, and he's even done some illustration work for Jomez Bro in the past. So, he goes on to talk about a little bit of stuff, but it's going to be, he doesn't want to get in the way, but it's going to be a weekday wedding. So, my suggestion is going to be on the hole 8 fairway. It's about the only piece of flat ground on the whole course. Mm-hmm, so 25 to 30, you fit in there, no worries. It's a little bit more private than up by the barbecue on hole one. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I like it. It depends what they're looking for. I mean, if they wanted to have it on a hole and they're going to bring in a marquee, obviously that makes sense. But, yeah, otherwise you'd be sending them off to some of your roughy rumble sections of the course,
yeah,
where it's a bit more picturesque and a bit more beautiful, where there's a rolling hill or whatever.
But no, they want to be course adjacent. He specifically said, like, I don't want to get in anyone's way, but I don't think he realizes that no one's playing on a fucking Wednesday or whatever he's going to get married. So,
yeah.
But anyway, yeah, my spotlight goes to Jay Penn for having a wedding on a disc golf course.
Yes. Yeah, that is cool. Otherwise, yeah, honestly, I'm just getting into like wedding organization mode at the moment. But yeah, hole one makes sense, doesn't it? You could just set it up behind that barbecue, fucking get dibs on it, and then you can have people just run ace runs at hole one all day.
He specifically said he didn't want to be like by the barbecue at hole one.
Okay.
Because they want it more private. I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
All right, there we go.
Yeah.
My spotlight goes to Aaron Gossage. I'm all about in this podcast. Releasing loads of content out of New Zealand. I sent a link to the boys. He did a vlog after Taupo or one or whatever event. But he rafting down the river with Levi and doing cliff jumping and whatnot and just having a time with the boys. That's awesome. And he's also like releasing course preview footage. Aaron Gossage has to get my spotlight.
Spotlight!
Yes!
That's cool. No, I watched that after he sent it to me, and I thought that was dope. So,
yeah.
Pretty cool. Dude's living life right. All right, not lights. I've got an honorable mention, and it's got to go to Facebook. We got a message from our good friend, Alex, and he posted, I guess he was trying to post this in the Disc Golf in Melbourne chat. He goes, Bald Hill Social Day on Saturday. Only a couple of spots left for the 8 a.m. round. Plenty of space in the 10:30, and provides the link to the metrics. And a message comes up, says that this goes against the community standards on adult sexual solicitation. We have removed your message. Like, what the fuck? I mean, I know disc golf's sexy, but that's a bit next level. So, yep. I don't know what's going on with that. That gets my honorable mention, but my my actual not light, and this is apparently old news, so forgive me, because a lot of people have probably heard this, but this is new news to me. This is the worst thing I maybe have ever heard. I'm sure you're across this because of your teacher background, but they ruined the Alphabet song.
Oh.
Are you aware of this?
We might have differing opinions on this.
Oh.
If you're taking this where I think you're taking it.
I'm about to play you how the alphabet is now taught to children.
Oh, I'm ready. I love it.
We sing it. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. H, I, J, K, L, M, N. O, P, Q, R, S, T. UVWXYZ.
That is the worst shit I've ever heard in my entire life. I hate it. I have not hated much more than this. It makes me physically sick. It's LMNOP.
No.
Oh, what?
We have differing opinions on this.
This is crazy.
So, I've heard better versions to what you just played. I will admit that straight away. But You just made the point. The reason they've pivoted is because LMNOP to a lot of young children is like a letter. Like what? Like the way we run with LMNOP is it's too fast for children. And they're like, how many letters was in that just now? I'm actually for this pivot. When I first saw this, it is old news. However long ago I saw it, I was like, that checks out. I'm about that.
This checks out. So because kids are too dumb, you want to change it. I mean,
yes.
That's the alphabet I learned. Have you ever been like, fuck, what's that weird letter where it's like an N, but like, and, oh, you mean an M? Yeah, that's it. Look, I've never once confused my L's, my M's, my N's, my O's, or my P's. Never once in my entire life was I like, fuck, I don't know what that is. If only someone had to slow that mnemonic down a bit for me.
How do you spell pneumonia?
P, N, then other words. I don't know. I'm not a good speller. But I, oh, nah, it's horrible. That's my not light. I hate it so much.
Fair enough. Welcome. No, that's good. That did pass my desk at one stage.
Yeah, it's like 6 months old. I just never saw it.
That's a funny reference. All right. My not light's pretty simple. It's going to go to none other than Chris Ronalds. I putted up a storm at Werribee. I took stats, as I often do, in UDIS, sent it straight to the boys as the round completed. I went 54% from C1, and I went 0% from C2. The worst thing about the 0% from C2 is, like, I had a bunch of C2 putts. None were longer than 12 meters. Like, these were, like four gettable C2 putts that I made none of, and a zillion C1 putts that I missed all of, for a total of 11 birdie putts that I missed. So I am wearing that not light.
That's rough.
Yeah, I was throwing so good. I had like 92% like green in regulation or something dumb, and I just missed every putt.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, no good. Not fair. Not light. I like that. Good honesty by you.
Yeah.
We should shout out that the real spotlight of this week should go to Ella, because she did some spring cleaning and found a nice headset
yes.
for you. So if anyone's like, fuck, I don't think Chris has ever sounded better, or that's how it's coming through in my ears as well. So we'll have to wait for the pod. But I think this is the best you've ever come through. So well done there, Ella.
I just hope I haven't come through too crisp. Like, I hope I haven't come through so crisp that there's, like, an echo or something going on.
We might be losing followers.
Yeah, but I'm happy with his gear.
Nice. No, me too. I like him. All right, well, that'll see us through for another week. So, thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.